This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It is Sunday Arts Magazine with David and Brendan on this bit of a gloomy Sunday afternoon. How are you today, David?
I'm very well, thank you. Well, as a matter of fact, isn't it nice to have a little bit of relief? It's been so beautiful, the weather. But it's still not cold, though, is it?
No, certainly not.
Did you see the moon last night?
No, I was a little bit busy.
Oh, yes, you were. I've heard all about it.
How was it? How was the blood moon?
It looked beautiful because I sleep with my blind open, which is... You know, a rarity. Most people don't like doing that, and so therefore, I from about 2 o'clock in the morning, I see the moon until it disappears.
Gorgeous.
And I woke up and saw it, and it was just beautiful last night.
Stunning. Yeah. Now, we've had a big week arts-wise, and you got to go to a little bit of a chat about an upcoming thing at the NGV.
Yes.
Now, tell us all about that. This is a huge one that they do every
year.
Well,
yes, Melbourne Winter Masterpieces, which is just so huge for Melbourne, and the amount of money that it brings into the city is huge. So it's wonderful that they made the announcement early in the piece, as they always do. And this year, the Melbourne Winter Masterpieces is Hermitage, the legacy of Catherine the Great. Now, she was a German who became Queen of Russia. And in her time at Russia, she really took them to the next level. She brought arts to the forefront with this incredible collection. Pretty much every major painter in the known world at that stage, she collected their art. She also collected trinkets that were made by people all over the world. A lot of people from China, crafts people from China made her jewelry boxes or her makeup little boxes, and just amazing. There was a crab which is going to be at the exhibition, and you actually had to you press the eyes and it opens up.
Oh wow!
And there were her rouge was inside of it, and you know, just all beautiful things like that. So it's not just the paintings, it's also collection, her personal things that it's wonderful we've got it, and also a dinner set that was made in France for 1,000 people.
Wow.
Because the banquets were so huge, and the buildings that she did, the education that she introduced to Russia was amazing. And there's one painting in particular that the NGV has here in Melbourne, that when Stalin took control, now obviously you're not allowed to sell off the works of arts that are a part of the people's art, and he sold off a lot of the really big pieces of art, which was always here in Melbourne anyway, which is very naughty of him, because they were going broke, was the beginning of communism, and so therefore, you know, to prop it up, he sold a lot of the major pieces of art. So there are just so many incredible stories, and just her as a woman, Catherine the Great, she did so much for that region of the world in her time. So this collection is going to be quite spectacular, and I can't wait for it. It starts July 31st and goes to November 8 at NGV International, of course.
It's going to be wonderful. Now, on to film discussion.
Yes.
I squeezed in a lot this week, Dave, and there was one I saw prior, and it's just been released recently in Australia. So I'll start with that one. It's called Love is Strange. Now, I did mention it a little while ago because it was at MIFF last
That's right.
year, 2014.
Yep.
But it's hit Australian general cinemas now. It's directed by Iris Sachs, and if you don't know, it is about an older gay couple who recently got married, but one of them is fired from his teaching post and sort of causes a lot of grief, basically, with obviously the couple, but also the extended family as well. The daughter, played by Marissa Marissa Tomei, who is great in the film. And the two main actors are John Lithgow and Alfred Molina.
All right.
Who you would know from a lot of other film roles. And I think they're just wonderful. It is a great, really great film.
I think older people, if they lose a job, it can be really off-putting, and a lot of people go into depression because of it, and they feel that their worth isn't there anymore, losing a job that they thought they were going to have until they retired. So, it sounds like a nice topic.
Exactly, and I think, you know, as you're saying, it's on a personal level, on an individual level, it would be devastating, but then to bring it into a couple situation and a family situation, just even, extrapolates everything and makes it even bigger than it is on a personal level.
How many
level.
Stars? Or what are you calling them these days?
I give letter ratings. So I give this one an A. I definitely recommend you going out and sourcing this. It's at sort of the smaller ones around Melbourne.
Yep.
So you might have to go looking a little bit.
Yep.
But definitely worth tracking down. And
what's it called again?
Love is Strange.
Right. It certainly is.
Now, speaking of love, possibly strange love, it's a film called Mummy.
Yes.
Or Mommy.
Yeah.
And it's directed by a very, very talented writer-director, Xavier Dolan. He's French-Canadian, and the film is set in a Quebec suburb, and they all speak French, of course. And it's a wonderful film shot in a one-to-one aspect ratio, so like a box, essentially, which is a really nice... it was a little bit off-putting to start with, because you usually see, you know, a widescreen, panoramic sort of view, but this is very much in-your-face... You're right there, but it suits it perfectly because the film is about human relationships and how they evolve and devolve over time. And
so, what's the connection with Mummy?
So, Mummy, it is about a mother and son relationship,
right? Overpowering mother.
Well. This is the thing. There's a sort of a tug of war between the two because it's quite a young, I think he's about 15 possibly, young son, and he's just been released from like a care facility, so for sort of troubled young teens.
Right.
And he's gone back into her care, but he's got ADHD and he's sort of dealing with, you know, outbursts of aggression.
That'd be hard.
Very, very hard. But it sounds really serious, and it is, but there's a lot of humour instilled in it as well. And the relationship between the mother and the son is kind of beautiful and tragic and hilarious.
Mm. I really feel for parents in situations like that where it's hard enough bringing up children anyway. Look at your poor parents. I feel sorry for them. But when the children have got problems, it's such a strain on the parents, and they never get that part of their lives back, and it's often ongoing. I actually have a sister in that situation, who her daughter, and she's lived with it all her life, and she's now in her 40s, the daughter, and there are still outbursts because of the drug she's on as well. It's really off-putting.
Well, the son sort of rejects the medication that he's on and doesn't want to take it, and that sort of does cause more trouble between the two. But then you have this third character that comes in, named Kyla. And she comes in, and she's sort of this almost a grounding force for both of the main characters. But I think she gets a bit more than she bargains for during the film. But I really, really did like it.
Right. Rating?
It gets an A as well, no doubt.
You're too easy, Brendan.
No. I've just been really lucky this week.
Yeah.
I've seen some standout films, and I'll leave one of the other ones till a bit later because I love that one as well. But it's funny that both of these films did play at MIFF last year.
Right.
So we're finally getting to see some great films sort of filter through.
Yep. Just goes to show you how good Lisa was.
Yes. Oh, yeah. This is...
MIFF.
Yep. Love is Strange, I think that did play at MQFF last year as well.
Right.
Could be wrong. Correct me on that one if you want. If you do want to get in touch with us on the topic, 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. I'll get that right. And don't forget, we do have Marcus on the front desk as well. Yes. What is the number we can call on?
1300JOY949.
That's the one. You are listening to Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy.
That was Walking in the Sky. Cut copy here on Joy 94.9.
Love that track.
It is Sunday Arts Magazine. David and Brendan with you. That is David John Hunt, of course.
And Brendan, Brendan Michael Bale.
Now, we're having a great afternoon already. We're off to a flying start. And we're going to keep the fun going. We have our first interviewee for today. A lady by the name of Jackie Grantford. Now, you let's tell us about yourself. What do you do? We're going to get into your history though, very soon.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks for having me on. By the way,
you're very pleasure. Welcome. So you've got an exhibition starting. Well, it's on now. Yes,
yeah,
on the first.
Started on the first. We had our opening night, which was really, really very exciting.
Yeah, and you're an artist.
I am an artist. Yes, yeah. I didn't start an artist, but
well, we want to find out. So, what's this exhibition called?
It's called Eclectic Synergy.
Right.
And so it's a collection of, well, work from the last 2 years, really, and just it looks sort of, it doesn't even look sort of, it looks at what makes us human internally and externally, our, you know, achievements and how we express ourselves that way. And right. So it has a series of pieces.
Right, okay. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how you got started off as being an artist. Where did the interest come from?
Oh, look, I've had it my whole life. Actually, when I was three, I remember my mum used to teach the violin and she'd have these two lovely little old ladies come. Yeah. They probably weren't old at all, but when I was three, they seemed very ancient. They're probably younger than I am now. Yeah, exactly. And whilst one was having a violin lesson, the other would take me, you know, and I'd sit with her and I had to draw for her. She would insist I do drawings.
Okay.
And I remember ever since then that I was quite passionate about drawing and I just consistently drawing. And so it's been my whole life. And in fact, I had a friend from Facebook recently, and how Facebook enables you to get in touch with
people.
Yeah,
that's what I love about
it. Yeah, a school friend. I recently just got in touch with her, Robin, and she was a great friend all through school. She has a painting that I painted for her when we were 14 and she's kept it all these years,
oh
even though
God.
We lost touch.
Oh, how lovely.
It's really
now,
touching.
Did you study art when you left school?
No, I studied music.
Right.
I played the violin. I studied the violin. Prior to that, I did piano.
Yep.
So I had a great musical interest. Classical music was my passion at that time.
Now I'm just on that level. You're on another community radio station.
I am.
A classical music one. What's it called?
It's 3MBS. So it's great fun being on the other side and seeing this station too. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So you'd have a music show?
Yeah. I do some presenting for a show called Arts Weekly, which is on Saturday mornings, and it has interviews and reviews and music of what's going on in the arts around Melbourne.
Right.
And,
like our show here.
Yeah, exactly the same sort of thing. Yeah, exactly the same.
So you studied music and do you teach music now or?
No. My daughter sings.
Right.
I get to listen to her, which is lovely. But, you know, I push the buttons instead in the radio station.
Okay. And so you then had to develop your own way of the art that you now do and the way you did it. So, you know, like you weren't trained at all.
No, I wasn't trained at all. I often make the joke that my firstborn son, or my only son, in fact, when he was born, would cry when I played the violin. And he actually did cry when I played the violin.
I thought it was supposed to be very soothing.
Well,
to me, it is.
And my cat used to climb my leg. So I don't know. I sort of thought that must be a sign. I didn't think I was that bad, but hey, maybe I was. So, and I just started painting my children because,
you know,
beautiful faces. How can you beat the face of a child?
Oh, yeah, they're your children. And you see them differently than anyone else sees them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how it began. I just kept painting them. I loved painting them and I moved into portraiture. I love painting people.
And you've done some pretty famous people too, haven't you, along the way?
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Come on, name drop.
Okay, I can name drop?
Yeah.
All right, Jackie Weaver is a big one that I painted and she was so delightful. Just a gorgeous lady. So I flew up to Sydney to meet with her and we walked past Baz Luhrmann's big gates. And got a photograph there, which was nice. And
in Darlinghurst, I know exactly where they are.
Yeah, oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
So. I used to live in Sydney, around the corner.
Oh, there you go. So, so in Darlinghurst. And it was great. And it was a bit weird because we were the two Jackies of similar height and hair colour.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, it was probably a couple of years ago.
Right, before she started to hit big time in America.
It was just as she started to hit big time. So she had just done Animal Kingdom, had been nominated for an Academy Award. And I thought, oh, gosh, I'd love to paint her. It'd be great. great, and I didn't really expect that she would say yes.
So you just thrilled. Found her agent and, yeah. and then just rang or emailed rang. Or something, yeah?
Yeah.
And they said yes.
Yeah, and said yes. And yeah, and she was very, so giving of her time as well, so I had a couple of days to meet with her, you know, because she had Hollywood stuff to attend to,
yeah.
as you do when you're a big Hollywood movie star. Had a couple of sittings over a couple of days, and part of the process in painting a portrait also isn't so much the sketches. When I meet the people, a lot of it is about actually talking to them more than anything. You know, I can put the sketchbook away, and I do get photographic backup reference as well, which is because people are busy. You don't, you know, I can't ask somebody in all consciousness to sit for me for you know, a few hours, yep. for 3 weeks. It doesn't work.
No.
She was fantastic.
Okay. In a perfect world, would you like to have that much time with people to really get their essence?
Yeah, I would. I would. But also the time in your own space is important too, because I don't know. Well, I think very clearly when I'm in my own space. You know, if it's my cat, it's okay. She can intrude. So, in fact, she does. She tried to paint the canvas the other day.
Oh, how gorgeous.
Very cute.
So you do a lot of illustrations as well for books.
Yes, I've done some book illustration. Oh, and I can do a plug now. This is great. Mm-hmm. It's not out yet, but it will be out in August, and this book's going to be fantastic. It's being published by Allen & Unwin. And the reason I'm keen to plug it is because it's having proceeds going towards the Royal Children's Hospital. It's to do with a foundation called the Hush Foundation.
Oh, we know it well. We've interviewed them, yes.
Yeah, this is their first picture book.
Right, okay, because you know there's always been CDs and concerts as fundraisers. Yeah.
And Catherine Crock does, you know, who started the foundation.
Yes, yeah,
amazing
love
job. She's a fantastic lady. So I had an exhibition and Kath was there, and Bill Duff, who also works with Kath.
Yes, I know Bill well.
Yeah, said, could I do a picture book? I thought, oh gosh, it's such a big thing. It's bigger than me. So I approached Anne James, who's a very one of Australia's most lovely and talented children's book illustrators, and we got a group working together on
it. Okay.
So we've got
names like the CDs where it's different people, and
so we've got
each time
over 20 of Australia's best authors and illustrators.
Oh, and you organise that?
Well, I sort of
got the ball rolling.
In terms of organisation, there's been other people that have come in and done, you know, amazing things to get the ball rolling even further. But yeah, I feel very proud that I was there at the beginning, getting it going and being part of the team the whole way through.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So that's coming out in August, and we've got Sean Tan, Jackie French, Margaret. The list is enormous of these great talents in this book. So I also feel quite honoured to be included in it as well.
Yeah. And what I'm loving about hearing your story is the sheer fact that you've taught yourself and you're achieving pretty amazing things.
Yeah, I think it's following your heart. I think that if you're doing that, and I'm more and more as I get older, I'm finding that's the case. And this is sort of what this exhibition's about as well, is that I'm moving more and more to doing my art that I feel compelled to do and love to do, and not worrying so much about where it will be received and what will happen. And the lovely result from that, which I didn't really expect, is that it is being well received, and it's great.
And this is your exhibition, your standalone exhibition.
Yeah, standalone.
Is this your? How many have you done in the past?
In terms of standalone in fine art, this is my second. I've had standalones in book illustration prior to that. But it's all art, really, isn't it? But
of course, yeah.
So, The exhibition that I had beforehand was a series of hands of people who had amazing stories connected to them, and that was wonderful and very well received. And I suppose where this exhibition is different, though, is that it's only about my art and about, you know, what I feel about things or think about things.
Yeah.
So
okay, well, we'll come back and we'll talk about the exhibition.
That's it. You're on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9.
We're here on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine. David Hunt and friend of ours. I was going to call you David Bale then. We haven't married yet.
Well, no way.
No way. Now, we are delighted to keep Jackie Grantford around
thank you.
To chat about everything. We've covered a fair few different aspects of
and,
her
and self-taught artists that's kicking ass, which is great.
It's interesting how many artists out there are self-taught. I went to the Black Swan Portrait Prize. I had a work in there in the Heritage Prize, actually, but the Portrait Prize and the Heritage Prize are held at the same time, and some amazing artists, and just at they had a breakfast, champagne breakfast, which was lovely, and chatting to them, a lot of them are self-taught. And so I found that really interesting.
Why do you think that's the case? Because a lot of the time when you're a teenager and you're going, say, into art school, and a lot of people drop out as it's just a natural thing, or going back later in life, it's harder to go back into those institutions, isn't it? So if you've actually got that skill, it's probably easier to do it, to self-teach yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's got pros and cons attached to it. I think that in some ways you follow your own instincts a little bit. You're not sort of following what you think you should do.
Yep.
I think that can be really positive. But by the same token, I think you can miss out on stuff as well.
Well, yes, like the classics exhibitions that the NGV might put on. A friend of mine actually did that in her mid-50s. Once her children had gone off to work and whatever, she decided, and she went back to art school.
Okay.
And she loved it because she learnt about the classics and the importance of it. And so, yeah, it is. But you can do that yourself anyway.
You can.
Because we've got these wonderful institutions like the NGV and the exhibitions that we see there on a regular basis.
If you have a curiosity to learn, then you just will. And there's places that facilitate it. So, for example, I'm going to a portrait conference in Atlanta at the end of this month. And I went last year in Washington.
Yeah.
And I learned. So it was. I learned what a mall is, which prior to that I didn't know.
A mall?
A mall, M-A-U-L. This did sound a bit like mall, didn't it? No, we know. So a mall, it's like this stick with this big thing at the end of it that you can lean against the painting.
Oh, yes.
And
you didn't know about them?
I didn't know about those, no. My life has been transformed since that. It's wonderful.
Yeah, because it steadies your hands.
Yeah, no smudgy paintings anymore. It's been fantastic. And also, you know, there's like little think courses and things. I did a encaustic workshop with this wonderful man called Michelangelo, so I can now officially state that I have learned from Michelangelo. And that was great. So part of the works in this exhibition are encaustic artworks. So for those unfamiliar with that wax. And it's wonderful because I cook it up myself. I can't cook in the kitchen, but I can cook my own wax.
Yeah.
So you melt it, you know, beeswax with a bit of Damar varnish and this pinch of Canuba wax, and you can mix your pigment in. You can make any colour. You can pour it. You can brush it on. It's just wonderful to work with.
Okay. So tell us about this exhibition. What's it called again?
Eclectic Synergy.
And where is it?
It's in Parkdale, which is where I've been based with my kids for, I'm not going to say how many years. It shows how old I am. It's frightening. For many. So it's lovely because it's local. And that was the nice thing about opening night as well.
And it's actually in the theatre?
No, there's a separate gallery space there. So the Shirley Burke Theatre is there as well, and the gallery space is separate. And it's wonderful because in the suburb of Parkdale, it's a very contemporary gallery. I had a friend exhibit there and I walked in and went, oh, this is lovely.
Right.
Really nice space. And how I'm really very happy also with how the works look there.
Yeah. How many pieces?
I've got 17 pieces.
Right.
So
and a few sculptures.
There's two sculptures, that are sort of, I've incorporated encaustic wax with those as well.
Right.
So they're figures but with a difference. So sort of it's pretty difficult with radio to describe things, isn't it? So people just have to go and see them.
Yeah. Or go to a website.
Or go to a website, yeah.
Which is, you can go to the kingstonarts.com.au or your own website as well.
Yeah.
To have a look. And portraits? I'm guessing there's some portraits in the exhibition?
No, not in this particular one. No portraits in this one. There's some cityscapes.
Right.
And
buildings, aren't
they? Yeah. With unusual angles that have come from travels. So there's Barcelona and New York and Perth.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I know. It's wonderful. Well,
name dropper.
Well,
Jackie Weaver, New York, Barcelona.
Well, if you'd asked me, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to say that. So I can I can quite proudly say that now. I'm very happy to say that I went to these places. And connected through art travel too with an art residency that I had in, but was the one with Barcelona.
Okay, fantastic. And how amazing is that city as an artist? To what the Gaudi, just, you know, like every time you turn around another corner there, it's breathtaking, isn't it?
It is just beautiful. I could live there. In fact, my life plan is 6 months Spain, 6 months Australia.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make it work somehow.
Now, is there an overarching sort of theme through this exhibition, or is it a collection of works?
It's a collection, but the theme does always come back to humanity, really. It's people. Like, there's some surreal works as well and some drawings. So we're looking sort of inwardly and outwardly. And that's where the architecture pieces aren't strictly just scenic, you know, they're at an unusual angle, and I think they're almost like a portrait of architecture. And obviously the surreal works, and there's figures and very much they're quite contemplative in their feel, I think that they are, and so that is the theme, but it's a collection as well, so there's diversity within the exhibition too.
And is it, from your perspective, is it pushing your aesthetic further than you've ever sort of gone before?
Yeah, I think it is. It is. It's very much a case of I was trying to challenge myself too, and challenge myself in the mediums that I used as well. So, for example, one of the cityscapes, it was a huge amount of detail, and it was with my daughter actually, and she said, well, imagine if it was in wax. And I thought, well, I can't do that. That would just be so hard, because it's got hard edges and it's precise and the wax is very fluid. I thought, but let's see what happens. And I was really, really pleased that it did work. It drove me insane. But
so you push your boundaries.
Push my boundaries, yeah.
And which that's so important as an artist, isn't it?
It's just crucial. It's the only way that you move forward. And part of what I did too is I eliminated colour a little bit. There's smidges of colour, but not a huge amount. I sort of was finding colour distracting. And I felt that I just really wanted to focus more on form.
Right.
And that colour, when it feels right, will start making its play, play again into the whole mix of things.
Excellent. So the exhibition is on now until the 2nd of May.
End of April. 30th of April. Yeah, so don't come on the 1st of May, because nothing will be
there. Right. Oh, okay. And to find out more details, you go to kingstonarts.com.au.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in today and sharing your little story. And I love it, the fact that you've taught yourself and you've pushed yourself to get where you are now. Congratulations.
Oh, it's my passion, so it's very easy to do. Right. I love it. Brendan and David, thank you so much for having me on the program.
Our pleasure.
You're most welcome. Now let's get into a track by Hertz here on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
We love a bit of gold, Frap.
Oh, we certainly
on a
do.
Sunday afternoon, that was Strict Machine from Black Cherry, one of their older albums. You are on Sunday Arts Magazine with David Hunt and Brendan Bale. And we've got the real queen of Moomba herself in the studio right now. It's Miss Dolly Diamond. Thank you for coming in.
Well, wonderful to be here. I'm thrilled.
Now, do you know where you are?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Why did you doubt that?
Now, Dolly, this you're doing so many different things of late. You've just been so busy this year.
Yes.
But the interesting thing is that you're part of the comedy festival this time around, which you just don't do straight comedy, do you?
No. Well, I've never done the comedy festival, if that's what you mean. But I thought, why not, really? You know, you've been doing all those other festivals for that long. I thought, why not? Why aren't I doing it?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's the biggest arts festival in Australia.
Right. It's one of the biggest ones in the world.
In the world. I think second behind Canada.
Right, well, I won't do that one.
You won't do that one?
No.
Okay. But tell us, as an artist, because you are on Sunday Arts Magazine, when was your beginnings as an artist?
I began in Wales, actually.
Wales?
Yes.
All right.
And I was offered a gig, and I thought, why not? out, you know. And I remember, actually, it was there's a big difference between doing what you do and then getting up there and entertaining an audience, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'd done musicals and things like that, but this is very different. And it's very it's a different audience as well that you get in England and Wales and Britain. They'll want blood if you're not any good.
Right.
And, well, obviously I was all right because I get getting asked back, and it went very well. And that was nearly 15 years ago.
Oh, my God. Mm. Wow. So you've been around for a long time as
a little while,
as a performer.
Yes.
So,
but that was, I mean, looking back, I mean, it feels like years ago. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't mean
15
years, but even more, you know. I think you listen to people say, oh, I've grown as an artist, you know, I just think, oh, what a wanker. But I know what they mean, you know. I've evolved over those years, and that's why I want to do the comedy festival, to evolve.
So what are the new challenges that, you know, are specific to a gig like this?
I think, well, I'm normally doing cabaret, you know. I can rely on doing loads of numbers.
So there's no singing?
There is. Well, my version of it. And it's more about me having a script. I improvise an awful lot, even now. And I'm scripting this.
Oh, okay. So this, yes. Is this a first for Dolly?
I you know, probably is, yes. I mean, there's little bits that I've always relied on.
Yes.
That, you know, I talk about in case Russ Rah or whatever. I've been doing that for years. This is all brand new.
Right.
And that worries me.
And that worries you.
Yes.
Now, how do you find the writing process? Do you enjoy it?
I love that bit the most.
Yeah?
Yes, because you're down there and you can just write.
Down where?
Where I write in a little cocoon. I put myself
right,
away.
Right, okay.
And I can write and write and write, and then I whittle all that down, and then it's whatever I remember. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
You know, and that's so it'll now be, I've been working on this for a while. It all began me trying to get the Lord Mayor to actually give me the title role of the Queen of Moomba. Well, that didn't bloody happen, obviously.
Now, you know, where does your mind as an artist, it's so creative in the respect of coming up with a show about being the real Queen of Moomba. Where's the inspiration come from?
Well, I was asked why I gave it that name, because I'm not the real Queen of Moomba. But I believe that I would be if I ever got the job, because I'd give it more of a, I put more of my life into it, more of my,
right.
You know, what I believe it should be more involved.
Right, so like launching ships and children hospital visits. And
yes, I mean, I'd happily launch a dinghy if I thought it would help, but that is exactly right. You know, where is the King and Queen of Moomba?
They don't do anything.
All these really big events. Why aren't they out there raising money?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I will, if I do get the job eventually, that is what I'll do. At the moment, I couldn't give a rat's. I just want people to come to the gig.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So I could see you standing on traffic lights with the little tin, shaking it for the Children's Hospital Good Friday appeal. Would you do that?
No. But, I mean, if you've envisaged that, then I like that. Yes.
So, okay, it's about Moomba.
Yes,
And
it's really about my life.
Your life?
I mean, you know, and I have taken artistic license or lies and made them into laughter. I mean, I joke about the fact that I was living in England and that I moved over in, you know, in the 80s or something, and I didn't. I moved over much later. But I write about that in this gig, and I take people on a bit of a journey. It's not all about me being rejected,
right.
Although a lot of it is. And I laugh at the people that have been made king and queen over the years. I mean, there's been some wonderful choices. Rolf Harris, Zig and Zag, all the paedophiles, and lots of other people as well. There's been drunks, there's been loads of people, but there's been some wonderful ones as well.
Can you name some of the wonderful
ones?
Oh,
easily. Kate soprano.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, but when she was made queen, I was living in New York, you know, and there I was, knee-deep in cocaine and living a model lifestyle, really, and I was hauled up and dragged back, and I, you know, I think she was a wonderful choice. Molly Meltram.
Yes. Was he king or queen?
He was both, I think, you know. But at the time, I felt guilty because I'd made a voodoo doll of Kate Sobrano and was digging pins in her bedroom eyes. And I felt awful for taking the screws out of Molly's ladder. Things like that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So where are you playing? At the town hall?
Raids.
Oh, trades? Yes. Wouldn't the Lord Mayor let you into the town hall?
You know what? I think once I was rejected as the Queen, I said, no, I don't want to be in there. No.
But I've been seeing photos with you and the Lord Mayor.
Oh, we get on. He's all right, isn't
yeah?
he? Yes.
Oh.
I got a lovely message from Emma, the Lady Mayoress.
Yes.
Saying we wished it could have been you. And of course, I'll be using that in my show as
right.
well. Yes.
I wonder if he'll...
that printed.
And I wonder if he'll come along.
Oh, yes, I would imagine.
He likes Dolly, doesn't he?
Yeah, likes.
Mm. Loves?
I think so.
Yeah, we won't go into that too much. But is this part of you trying to reclaim it next year then? Is this just part of the
I've got
the candidacy?
One more year in me.
Okay.
Yes, one is, more
is there,
year.
Is there an age limit for the Queen of Moomba?
Well, has it been up to date? No.
I think there might be.
No, there isn't. No, there definitely isn't. But I'm only going to do it one more year. I think after that you can look a little desperate.
So therefore, do you want people to get behind the movement?
I want people to buy a ticket and watch this. It is my attempt at doing the comedy festival. And that's what I really want. I'll be honest, you know. And I will be aiming to be the Queen of Moomba next year.
Right. Well, we're right behind you, Dolly.
I like it. I can feel your presence.
All right. So how do you get tickets?
Well, you go to the Comedy Festival website, comedyfestival.com.au.
Right, okay. And you're playing Trades Hall?
Yes.
And when do you start?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, how long for?
Oh, I got 12 nights.
12 nights in a row?
Yeah, I've got Monday off.
Oh, you've
Monday
got Monday
in the
off.
Middle.
Right, okay.
Yes.
And I will be there on next Friday night, and Brendan, no
doubt. Wonderful.
Yes.
Yes.
Sure.
How lovely. Well, that'll be a couple of you in there anyway. Are you loud?
Oh, very loud.
Yeah, you are loud.
Yes, yes.
I remember
yes,
now.
It's deafening.
Yes.
Well, we can't thank you enough for coming in and gracing
you really
us with
can't.
Your presence. No, I can't.
No,
literally, I
loved it. I wanted to do it, didn't I?
You did.
Not originally, but I did eventually.
A few bribes never
and
hurt.
And your outfit that you've got on today is spectacular. It's you actually said it's not a new dress. I thought it was. You have worn it before.
Well, I didn't imagine you announcing that, but yes.
No, but it's so spectacular, and you've been using it a fair bit in your promos as well.
Yes, I was actually christened in this dress.
Were you?
Yes, I'm lucky that my body hasn't changed a lot over the years.
Oh, Dolly, thank you so much for coming in and your lad, and have a spectacular season in this year's Comedy Festival.
Good on you.
You're on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine, David Hunt and Brendan Bell with you.
And how wonderful was it to have Dolly on our show?
Do you know what? I've never had a full segment with Dolly before.
Oh, haven't you?
And I think I just need to turn my mic off when I'm talking to her on air because I just laugh too much.
Now, now we had an SMS.
We did. No name for this one, but Dolly is our gay icon in Melbourne. Bloody hilarious.
Absolutely. And
couldn't
thanks for sending
more.
That SMS in.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Now, before we go, I did have one more film I did need to speak about. A film called Dior and I.
Mm,
now,
you were
Dior,
speaking about it the other day.
I was talking your ear off about it because I was falling in love with it. From director Frederick Chang.
Now, is it a doco or is it a film about Dior?
No, it is a documentary.
Okay.
About Raf Simons, he was the new creative director, his first haute couture collection with the big powerhouse design house.
Yep.
And very nerve-wracking, even just as a viewer, seeing him, you know, make the connections because he knew no one at the fashion house. And but his attitude kind of got him a lot of places. He seemed like a very nice, consultative kind of person, which is lovely because you get to see the people who actually physically make the designs.
And how much time and effort goes into them.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it really is an art piece, isn't it, some of those dresses?
It certainly is.
Well, and all of them.
Well, all of them, exactly, no matter, you know, if you love them or not, you have to sort of respect the craftsmanship behind it.
And you were actually saying that he used paintings as some of the fabric.
For some of them from this collection, he don't quote me on who he used, but he found this New York artist and loved his designs and said, well, I want to make that on a fabric. I want to turn that into a dress or whatever the design may have been.
Yeah.
They both did turn into dresses then.
Right.
But just a sort of laborious sort of effort to get that made, and the looks on the women's faces who were told that they needed to make it, they're like, oh, I don't think this is going to work. But it turned out beautifully, and I won't give too much away, but the final showing, which is obviously the end of the film, just spectacular, the venue and how and this Mr. Simons, he designed how the runway was going to look and and what the rooms were going to look like.
Oh, and so much time and effort goes into that, the whole overall look, doesn't
and
it?
Money.
Yeah, and money.
Which is not, you know, bankrolled by someone else.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of pressure. Very, very much a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
but this is another A rating. Close to an A+, very close, because it didn't overstay its welcome either. You sort of got to see, you know, the behind the scenes. You see how this fashion house is run, what the pressure Raf is under, the legacy, which is lovely. It goes actually into the legacy of Christian Dior, the man, and the fashion designer, because they sort of were two different entities, and that is sort of covered in the film through old manuscripts and diaries from him and his first wife, I think it was.
Right.
And yes, that didn't last. But what a beautiful film it was. And if you're going just for, you know, to see something beautiful, I don't think you could find a better film to watch as well. So, yes, definitely check that one out. It is only playing once again in sort of select cinemas, but definitely one to hunt down.
Yeah, it would be a beautiful... there's been a few fashion designer ones over the years, and they are quite interesting. And it's a world that we're not used to. It's a world that is so... look, to be quite honest, I don't like the fashion world. I love clothes and I love design, a fashion design, but I find it a terrible wank and a ridiculous waste of money in a lot of ways. But it's this multi-million-dollar, probably billion-dollar business. They go to so much time and effort with a lot of it.
See, I'm somewhere on the fence with that. I feel like there is so much beauty that they do create, but then there is that very pretentious side.
Do you know many fashion industry people?
No.
you don't need to meet them. So thank you, Brendan. It's been great being on air with you again today. And thank you to everyone for listening.
Yes, and to end on, long live the Astor Theatre as well.
Oh, yes.
Get out there and support the Astor when it does reopen.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.